This is Totally Cool Tech, the show that brings you the hottest in cool technology. No matter if it's old school or new school, high tech or low tech, it's all still cool tech.
Hello, ladies. Listen to your show. Now listen to mine. Now your show. Now back to mine. Sadly, your show isn't mine. But if you stopped listening to lady-sounding hosts and switched to Totally Cool Tech, my show could be yours. Look down. Now back up. Where are you? You're on a boat with the show your show could sound like. What's in your hand? Now back to me. I have it now. It's an oyster with two tickets to that thing you love. Look again. The tickets are now iPods. Anything is possible when your show sounds like Totally Cool Tech. I'm on a horse.
Welcome, everybody. This is a Totally Cool Tech podcast edition number 495. Once again, this is Sunday, October 3rd, 2010. I am Norbert Davis, your host. All right, I got to thank Paul Muller for that. That is the Irish Spring imitation commercial. You got to love that. If you haven't heard it, I did one for Paul called the Most Caffeinated Man in the World. It might be over at his site. I don't know if he's got it listed separately or not or whatever, but go ahead, check out his site. He might actually have that up. If he doesn't, I'm actually going to go ask him to go ahead and put that up, because I'll put this commercial up on a link, too, if you want it. You want to hear it again, whatever. So, yeah, I'm calling it once again because the show is once again late. That's right. You know, such is life. That's what happens here at the Norb Tech Studios. You know, just life gets in the way. And, you know, we get on with it, and we're going to deal with it, and that's what it is. So, on this episode of the Totally Cool Tech Podcast, prosthetic communications, Google TV is a-coming, Lego Leviathan, Wonder Wheels, Glow and Go, Super Pack, Saucers Up, Concrete Balloons, Use Your Mind, Luke, and Wireless HDTV. Now, Totally Cool Tech is a proud member of the TechPodcasts.com network. If it's tech, it's here, where you will find shows that are family-friendly and work safe. We're also part of the Blueberry.com podcast community, where podcasters and listeners all come together. That's Blueberry without the E's. Hey, episode 500, it's coming up. Five more podcasts, and we are going to hit it. The Totally Cool Tech podcast is going to be sometime here in October, and five more shows, you know, if we're stay on schedule, which I'm really hoping to do. But I might be missing one or two here. We're going to hit show 500, and we're going to be hitting the three-year, which is, a three-year anniversary is October 21st. So we are 18 days away from that. Five shows twice a week. You know, it might hit right around the same day or something like that. I might release both on the same, or I might release show 500 on the 21st. I don't know. I have to see what happens, because I'm trying to do something special for show 500. And I can't tell you what it is, but it's really going to be cool. I am trying to figure out, finalize here exactly how we're going to do some of the prizes that I'm going to have. I got a couple prizes already purchased and already set up for you. And I just need to figure out how I'm going to give them away, because I really can't ship outside the U.S. You know, maybe Canada is not a problem, but outside the continental U.S. area, Hawaii, Alaska, yeah, not a problem. I don't want to promise this to everybody, but you have to have a shipping address that would be in the continental U.S. or within a U.S. Territory. Let's try and put it that way, just to kind of round it down. Anyway, pay attention, stay tuned, listen up. We're going to have details. I should have it figured out by Wednesday how I'm going to actually do this. So stick around. We will have something really cool. All right. Yeah, this podcast is no longer sponsored by anybody. And yeah, I'm still powered by Mountain Dew Code Red, which I don't have a lot left. I still have some. Don't have a lot left. But I can work on that tomorrow. Go down to the store in Lodi, California. They got a whole bunch of that stuff. So that'll be really good tomorrow. I'm going to need it because my superintendent at work is going to be gone. So I get to take over. Oh, yay. All right. Let's get on into this. From over at MedGadget. DARPA is funding development of fiber optics for communications between prosthetic limbs and the nervous system. This is going to be really cool. Now, it looks like they're going to be doing it with a complete neurophotonic interface, is what they're calling it. It's kind of like a wrap that goes around the connection between the stub, I guess you would call it, the actual working limb, what's left of it, and the prosthetic. Now, there's going to be this cuff, this neurophotonic interface cuff, and it's going to have two different cables in it, a sensing fiber network and a stimulation fiber bundle. And what's going to happen is light from the fiber bundle is going to go ahead and hit a reflector, and the light is going to go ahead and give the nerve signals on how to work. This is going to be pretty cool. Now, this is, you know, this is all being funded under DARPA, and this really should revolutionize the way people use their prosthetic limbs, and this might make it more lifelike, more normal, more make the whatever the limb is, whether it be an arm, leg, whatever, react as a normal body part would. And this might just help a lot of folks, you know, live a normal life, more, you know, more normal than they would with a regular prosthetic. And in a lot of these prosthetics lately are getting really high tech, but this one's going to be really, really interesting. So go check this out over at MedGadget if you want to take another, get into it a little deeper. I really don't want to get into all of that, but this could just be really, really cool. All right. Next, over at TFTS, Logitech is showing off Google TV powered hardware coming October 6th. So that makes it, what, Wednesday? And this is going to be a really cool event because they're going to be putting out the hardware. Now, Google TV is, you know, going to be like Apple TV, really. But upon setting up a home theater, one may look into getting, you know, a television projector, a nice sound system, some comfortable chairs, whatever, you know, what have you, the big old couches with individual bucket seats almost, or just individual chairs, however you want to do it. But it would be virtually useless if there was nothing to watch on it, right? Well, you'll have something. But in this day and age, there's no drought, not no doubt, but no drought of content available from, you know, tons and tons of places. You got Roku, you got Boxy, you got Apple TV, you got Google TV. Everybody's got something. You know, you can always do all that. You can get from your local cable company, whatever. It doesn't matter. But Logitech was pleased to announce earlier this year that it is a partner with Google TV. And Google TV will be a new experience that combines TV with the entire web and apps, as well as a way of searching across all of these. And now, while Google TV will enable infinite access to content, Logitech will enable seamless control over how you experience it. So, coming up on October 6th, you'll want to pay attention. Get onto the Logitech site. They're going to have some stuff there, you know, and they're really going to battle up against, like, you know, Netflix and Apple TV and so forth. This is really, really going to be cool. Now, for details of the Logitech Review, which is actually the name of their little set-top box, go on over to Logitech.com on October 6th and watch this. I don't have an actual date right now, but you know what? It's going to probably be about 8, 9 o'clock, maybe 10 o'clock as it goes. So, you know, keep your thing open. I will try and put out an update on that as soon as I learn a little bit more, but probably start looking at my tweets on October 6th. So this ought to be pretty interesting because I am going to be paying attention to this. All right. Okay. Next up, what do we have here? Yeah, this Lego Leviathan. This is awesome. It's called Project Intrepid. It's a 23-foot Lego aircraft carrier. Now, this is one based on an active, or was one of the active World War II ships. It was the Intrepid, and I guess it was based on an Essex class aircraft carrier. But this thing is totally cool. Now, they say that the builders say it may not qualify for a world record, but it did come in at 23 feet, and what was it? It's a 1/40th minfig scale, so this is pretty darn slick. And it looks like it's going to be over at the Great Western Lego Show in Swindon, UK. It's going to be on display. It looks like it took a couple of builders using different places to go ahead and build their sections of it. Because it looks like it's got at least, I think they build it in sections because I see a couple shots of this thing in just a really short section, and there's other big pieces of it. So you got to check this thing out. It's huge. I mean, this thing is just huge. 23 feet, obviously. It's big, but it's really going to be cool. And I found this over at Wired. If you are a geek, a Lego geek, you want to check this out. These people did an awesome, awesome detail job of this. So they got some cutaway views, too, on the ship. This is really slick. So go check that out if you're so inclined. All right. I was outside this afternoon, this evening, as a matter of fact, just before I was going to go podcast, and my son, my oldest son, decided to pull out his Ripstick. And if you haven't seen one of those, it's a two-wheeled skateboard type thing where it has a little bar in the center, and you twist your feet and you move them side to side, really, or forward, backward. I don't know. Depends on your standing. I can't figure that thing out. I can barely ride a skateboard, but my son is trying to learn to ride this. Well, I found another thing, and it's called the Freerider Skate Cycle. This is over at Yanko Design, and it's two single wheels, and you put your feet inside the wheels. The wheels wrap around your feet, actually. You step into these things, so it's got like a hub, and you step in the hub, and these two rings, these two hubs are connected by a bar and two pivots, one for each of them, so you can sit there and wiggle your feet around, twist them as well, and that's what actually makes the thing go. This thing is really, really cool. Now, it I guess it would ride. I mean, there's nothing to really strap your feet into or anything, and you can't kick it like you would a skateboard, but you can still do some of these really, really cool tricks. And if you go to Yanko Design here, and the link, we'll have a link to a video on that site where these kids, you know, start using this thing, and it's really cool. It's really rad how they do this thing. I think it's really slick, and hopefully my son will be able to figure out his Ripstick, because I think he really wants to start doing that. And man, I never would be able to do that. I don't have the dexterity for that. But this looks really, really cool. I think he would love one of these. And you can actually buy it. These things are, you know, usually Yanko Design doesn't have things that are being actually manufactured. They're more design concepts. Well, you can get this for like $150. That is pretty cool. Okay. Now, this I thought was pretty cool because I'm in the construction industry and, you know, we build buildings for a living. And over at Yanko Design, I saw this Future of Escape, which... you know, one of the things that we really need to be conscious of and make sure we do right is getting the exit signs for the buildings and making sure that, you know, part of our job is to ensure that the design has good exiting properties for it, for whatever building it is. And anything that makes exiting a building in an emergency better is always cool. But it's got to be smart and intelligent. There's this really cool thing that they have here. It's called The Future of Escaping, is the article. And so keeping your wits about you during an emergency evacuation of a building is a lot easier said than done. Because when people start panicking, you know, all bets are off. And whether it's a hotel room or some, you know, hotel or some kind of familiar building that you're in, you know, following the leader, it may be a little bit difficult because everybody, you know, may not be familiar with that building and they go 12 different ways. Now, You've all seen the little signs, you know, above exit signs, you know, for emergency that will light up red or green, and they're meant to guide you during an emergency. Now, they're all either powered by what they call emergency power, or they have a battery backup in case there's a loss of power. Now, what this is a design where the exit will be. There's all these sticks that will all of a sudden glow. They're LED sticks, so they kind of look like the chem lights, you know, the ones where nowadays for Halloween, you know, the kids have them, and you crack the plastic stick, and it's got a little glass vial in there, and you shake it up, and there's a chemical reaction, and it glows. It looks like that, but it's an LED stick. And once, you know, everything goes, once the emergency happens, and the exit light, this little exit thing, is triggered, it'll go ahead and it'll light up these sticks, and you can go ahead and just detach one and use it as your flashlight or your escape light. So it'll last for a couple of hours, and it's going to, you know, help out so much, because if you have any kind of light, it's great. especially in a power outage and going down a stairwell, you need something. Or even if there's, like, say, a disaster when there's actually, you know, things falling on you, or you're, you know, inside a, you know, it's smoky or whatever, this will really, really help. I think this would be a really cool idea. So hopefully this will be taken to the next level and actually employed inside of a building. So pretty cool. All right. Now, I'm going to be traveling here pretty soon. Hint, hint. And, you know, one of the things is going through airports and all that. You have a lot of problems with the security and bring your laptop and your gear and your stuff like that. But you got to take it with you when you're flying, because, you know, if you're techno geek, you got to have your stuff with you. A company called Quirky, that's a pretty unusual name, kind of quirky, as a matter of fact. Yes, pun intended. Has developed a new backpack called Trek Support. And the really cool thing about this backpack is it can hold your gadgets and a notebook. But with an added bonus, the gadget section has pockets for four different items, and the thing can charge three items at once. So how sweet is that? Now, this thing, the notebook sleeve is removable, and it's held in place with Velcro. And inside the backpack is a battery that you go ahead and charge from an AC outlet in your home or hotel. The battery charges the gadgets and is good for 7 hours, depending on what you're charging. The laptop section will fit machines with up to a 15-inch screen. And as is the case with all Quirky products, it won't be made until there's enough people who decide to order one. So if you'd like to go ahead and order one, you can pre-order now. It's $130, and as of the moment, they've gotten about 98 out of 1,200. So as soon as they get about 1,200, they're going to go ahead and fire up all the production on this. So go ahead to the website. Check out this. I found it over at Technobob. But I'll have a link for you over to the Quirky site if you want to go ahead and pre-order one of these. It really does look cool. I might have to think about getting one of these for work, because this would be really good. You know, it has that notebook area. Has a section that's big enough for, say, an iPad, an iPod, a small digital, you know, kind of a flat digital camera, and they show a PSP. But that is actually pretty slick. I mean, $130, and it comes with a battery that will charge all your stuff USB-wise. That is awesome. I like that idea. It also has a place for, you know, your pens, pencils, all that kind of stuff, passport. Slick. I like it. Now, if it had a little spot there for a mesh for your a drink or something like that on the outside, that'd be really cool too. So, all right. Okay, what do we have next? Oh, yeah. This is pretty cool. I found this over at Device. It's a flying saucer-like blimp. Could haul 150 tons through the air at a time. Now, if ever you've seen the sky crane helicopters, you know, the things that looks like a, oh, I don't know, looks like a helicopter that's had its legs stretched out. They lift really heavy logs and maybe anything, heavy equipment, things like that. One of the hard things to do is to lift a lot of weight. A lot of, that's great. It's really hard to lift heavy weight. And an easy way to do that, because a helicopter, you know, depending on the altitude, the humidity, the heat, all that kind of stuff, has a lot of factors on how much weight that thing can actually lift. This balloon can lift, man, like 700 times, apparently, according to this article, 700 times more than a cargo helicopter, which this is pretty slick. Now, it's a blimp, actually. Now, the massive disc is almost 500 feet across, and because it's shaped like a flying saucer, it makes it less susceptible to winds while hauling the 150 tons, and, you know, makes it a little bit more stable. Now, the Skylifter isn't just, you know, some little flight of fancy, but the company did make a 10-foot-wide prototype of the craft, and the tiny one is called Betty, and it's just finished off the show. You know, it's built to basically demonstrate how things would work. Proof of concept, right? And the tiny version can only lift a little bit more than a pound, though it does show how its larger cousin would be able to act as a parachute during descent with a low-hanging pod that keeps it from being too heavy up top. This thing is really, really interesting. I want to see this thing come to life. Now, the Skylifter hopes to have the real deal built in the next 3 years and plans to have it carry massive loads of over 1,200 miles at a time. This would be pretty cool. Get you into a lot of remote areas a lot easier. And I think you'd be able to, you know, I'm sure it's got, doesn't show it. I can't really see it, and it didn't say, but I bet it has thrusters and things like that to, you know, go up, down, left, right, and so forth. Really, really cool. I'd like to see a little bit more on this. Have to find out some more information about this. Really, really cool idea. All right. Oh, and that was from Device. And another one I found on Device that I thought was really cool is they call it concrete cloth. It's a building in a bag, which is really kind of funny because it looks like it's inflatable. And when you're putting up a quick structure, you know, anything that can go up really, really quick and easy is really, really cool. And, you know, building a building, and I know this could take you a long time, unless, of course, you know, you're ABC and you're building a house for somebody and you do it over a weekend. Now, you need to make a foundation, and then slowly you can stack up your materials and, you know, build them up and so forth, but not with concrete cloth. And it's called building in a bag because it can be turned into a solid structure in mere minutes. Essentially, it's like a tent that's blown up with a compressor, but once it's up, it can be sprayed with water to be solidified into a solid structure that's waterproof and fireproof. It's perfect for situations like disaster relief when it's time, when time is of the essence. And this is really neat. Now, this is pretty much a concrete structure, but, you know, right now it's in a concept stage. Though they are doing, you know, live trials, and this thing is really neat. The concept is just amazing. This would be great for doing, you know, fire rescues or something like that, where someone is out in an area and they're trapped, but you can't get to them. You can dump this down, have it automatically inflate. People can get in it. You can have the helicopters come in or the airplanes come in and douse it with water, make it solid concrete, and at least have a place to shelter in. This is awesome. It can be done for a lot of other things, but I thought that was just kind of a really cool thing. You can also even do it for disaster areas where you need to have something where, you know, the people will be able to live in, like Haiti when they had their disaster. You know, this would be a really cool shelter to start putting up for people. All right, next up, if you have ever used a GPS, and sometimes you know that the GPSs aren't as quite accurate as they should be, especially when it comes down to some of the more off-road or off the main beaten path type areas. Well, I guess this guy, where was he? I want to say he was in New Zealand, but he started following his GPS, which is telling him to go make a delivery. And as soon as it got him off the main road, it kept telling him to go forward. Well, he listened to it, and that was a problem, because what it did is it took him up basically a goat path, and finally he got himself wedged. He could not back up, turn around, or anything. I mean, there was a steep cliff on one side and an itty-bitty path on the other. It looks like, you know, people would barely want to walk on this thing. But finally, he was able to get out. But what did it take? I'll tell you what it took. It took a helicopter. That's right. It took a helicopter to lift him and his truck out of there. So, while GPSs are really cool, and, you know, I like them, I use them, if you go ahead and you just blindly follow it when you can kind of see that, maybe it's a little bit off, you know, you might get yourself in trouble. Use a little bit of common sense. Stop when you have a chance and give up and go, you know what, this is as far as I can get. Got to go back. Maybe this thing is wrong. Maybe it's pointing me in the wrong direction. Or maybe it's going to take you to the top of the mountain instead of just, hey, you know, the best place you can get close enough and park. So use your brain, people. Technology's cool, but, man, you know, use your brain. Your brain should be smarter than technology, at least on a common sense type of thing. And technology doesn't have common sense. All right. This was really cool. It's a V-Beam. It's HD wireless USB media streamer, and it gives you 1080p video. This is cool. Wireless media streaming is certainly gaining in popularity. I've seen a lot more of these things coming around, and, you know, everybody wants them. It gives you that flexibility to put your TV almost anywhere and not have tons of wires go into it. Now, recently, Intel and their WiDi, which is a wireless definition, I guess, have finally taken have always had the limelight there. But WiDi is a new standard and with relatively small market acceptance right now. Conversely, nearly everybody already owns a fairly new laptop or computer that has enough horsepower, you know, to put out 1080p movies and have at least one free USB port. Now, some previous wireless USB options were capped at 720p for, you know, wirelessly streaming video. But VBeam understands this major weakness and, as such, has set out to overcome this. Now, VBeam HD streamers not only capable of streaming in lower 720p high definition, but can actually hit 1080p over certified wireless USB. In fact, it can not only stream movies from your Mac or PC, but can also literally turn your TV into a second monitor for your PC or your Mac. This is sweet. With its HDMI port for high definition and its RCA ports and SPDIF port for digital audio, no matter what standard your TV has, you will probably be able to use this thing. This is awesome. Now, you know, cost is always a big thing, and this thing is plug and play. And it has a price of $139, $140 for the HD streamer. And if you want to go ahead and you don't need 1080p, for about $99, you can do standard definition. So, you know, if you don't have a high-definition TV right now, or maybe you don't want to do a high-definition TV, maybe you just want to use a regular old TV, standard definition, $99, you can do that. Pretty darn sweet. So go ahead, check these out. I found this over at Everything USB. Great site over there. Great folks, and a great article here. I like this one. So this might be the way to go. This might really be the way to go and get your video to a TV mounted anywhere you want where you don't have to have a lot of wires going to it. Pretty slick. All right, that's going to be it for this episode. So I want to thank you so much for listening again to the Totally Cool Tech Podcast, no matter if it's on Stitcher Radio, the Roku, Boxy, iTunes, through any kind of podcatcher, from the website player. It doesn't matter how you get it. I really, really appreciate it. And if you like the show, please tell somebody, recommend us to a friend, and keep listening because you will find out how to win some prizes for our 500th show / 3-year birthday or anniversary. What do you want to call it? Now, I am going to CES 2011, and I'm asking for a little bit of your help. I'm looking for some donations to get me there, keep me there, keep me wired, keep me going. I have a donation button on the website, and I'm asking for your help. What I'm going to do is I'm going to be wearing a T-shirt or something like that, you know, or any somehow I will be displaying all my sponsors every time I do something. I'm going to be taking some video photos and all that kind of stuff. Your names will be there. I will be mentioning you guys. We'll be getting a shout out. So whether you're a company or an individual, you will get featured. All right, that's going to be it. All the show notes and links are going to be over at totallycooltech.com or tctpodcast.com, which is a good place for me to put those. Please go ahead and send me an email or audio comment to tctpodcast@gmail.com. Let me know what you think is cool, what we should be talking about on the show. You can also call the show over at 540-999-TECH. That's a podcast listener line. Or if you want, go ahead and follow me on Twitter. Give me a shout out on Twitter. You follow me, I'll follow you. Just go to TCT Podcast and look me up there. And let's see what else we got. That's pretty much it. Once again, I want to thank Paul Muller for giving us that little commercial in the beginning. All right, everybody, that's going to be it. I will see you next time.